This episode of Trenton Waves is brought to you by...
Hey everybody, it's me, Crystal Feliciano. I'm here on this set of The Crystal Feliciano Show. Please be sure to save the date for September 16th through the 22nd. Why, you say? Because Trenton Fashion Week is coming here to the capital city of Trenton, New Jersey. Again, that's September 16th through the 22nd. Trenton Fashion Week. We're going to help make Trenton shine.
If you're a digital video editor, you need Edius. You need Edius. Edius is all about giving editors the creative freedom to create any application environment. Download a 30-day trial today at edius.net.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, books, education, talent, events, art, of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank.
That's right, we're back with Trenton Waves, the podcast about Trenton. That's right. Going solo. Christina's not here today, but we have someone else here. Now, I have a question. Here's my first question.
Oh, to me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is it Bill Volucci? Is it Bill Volocki? Is it Bill Volucki?
No.
What is it?
Bill Volocki. Volocki. You go into the old village, and it's Volocki.
Oh, my gosh.
I took my father
I've been
there.
Saying Volucci for 16 years.
A lot of people have said that.
You say Volucci, I say Volocki.
My father used to say... Volucci, yeah.
Volucci.
Yeah.
Italian.
Yeah, you know what? But you go where my grandfather was born in, they all say Volocki. So that's what I go by now, Volocki.
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 Yes.
So it's not Volocki.
No.
All right, so that's one mystery solved.
Okay.
What's with this table?
Yeah, it's a little...
It's making all kinds of noises. Let's not try to move.
Yeah.
Now, Bill, you grew up in Trenton, I take it?
No. Not Trenton. I got here in 91.
Wait, got here from where? What's your journey?
So, you know what? I grew up in a city very similar to Trenton. I grew up in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, which is a steel town.
Okay.
Coatesville actually has the oldest continuing operating steel mill in the country.
Really?
Still there.
Hmm.
German owned, I believe. So
Is that necessary to say? It's German owned?
Well, it's just interesting. It's German. Oh, you want to take it out? You can cut it out if you have to.
I'm not cutting nothing out.
I just said it's German owned.
You know, this is the third time I'm saying this on this episode. This is the third episode I'm saying we speak the truth on this show. I was just curious why you happened to say it was a German run mill.
I don't know. People find it interesting to know where it's from.
Okay. You know? All right, go ahead.
I think they're based in. I don't know. Okay. So I left Coatesville. So my father worked for the steel mill all his life.
Right.
Raised five kids in the city.
Wow.
Died in Coatesville in a retirement home there, you know, stayed there all his life.
And he was born there?
Well, my father was born in the next town over, Downingtown.
Okay.
Which is a paper mill town.
Hmm.
It was a paper mill town.
German owned? German operated?
You know what? I don't know about that one. I know about Coatesville.
That's cool.
Frank, this is going to be fun, huh?
Hey, man. Come on.
So,
I've wanted to get you for a while now.
So I guess after high school, I spent a few years there. You know, I wasn't a great student in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Playing around a lot a bit. You know, roaming around the streets of Coatesville. So,
when you're supposed to be in school?
Well...
To cut out
maybe
a
little bit, not much, you know, not much. It was just, you know, Coatesville's like Trenton, you know, we had a lot of stuff going on.
Okay.
I grew up, most of my life, I grew up next to a really big housing project, and we were all mixing it up on the streets.
Okay.
You know, it was a lot of fun stuff, a lot of other stuff.
A lot of crazy
so, you
stuff.
Know what,
okay.
I got myself together, went to a local college for a while, and then I left and went down to D.C., and went to University of Maryland outside of D.C.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I got a B.A. in economics, and then I have a master's in urban studies and planning, and that's sort of what my career has been.
And how did that bring you to Trenton?
Let's see. After
what happened next?
Well, you know what? I spent like 6 or 7 years in D.C., so I worked for the federal government as a facilities planner. I was always interested in cities and
right.
sort of local development.
Okay.
And so I was interested in local economics. I started off in facilities planning, where I worked in D.C. helping federal government plan facilities, new facilities, place them in community. Under federal law, you had to, every time you build a new building, you had to do a 30-year net present value. And so I ran that stuff for them because I had an undergraduate degree in economics. And I sort of liked the numbers. So after that, I was looking, after I got out of graduate school and I worked for the feds for a few years, I was looking to get into a city. I wanted to work in like inner city,
gotcha.
Urban development.
Right.
So I was offered a job in Philadelphia. So I moved to Philly, and I became a community planner in North Philly and West Philly.
Right.
Spent a couple years there. It was overwhelming a bit. You know, I was North Philadelphia. You know, I mean, a lot of things have changed since I was there. I was in late 80s, and a lot of things have changed there. But it was, I mean, it was a lot of desperation there. You get into North Philadelphia, you could fit a couple Trentons in it. And it,
really?
I felt like it was hard for me to get things done, and you felt like you weren't accomplishing as much as you wanted to. And then there were some sort of personnel issues with who right. I was working with. We had sort of difference of opinion.
Now, is North Philadelphia the same as the Northern Liberties?
Well, Northern Liberties is part of it. North Philadelphia, I would say, is further north. You know, you go north of Girard Street, you go up to Temple.
Right.
You go past Temple, you go right. east of Temple, west of Temple. So, like, east of Temple used to be an area where they used to call the Badlands. And I don't know if it's the Badlands anymore, but let me tell you, you want to see blocks and blocks of vacant buildings, it was parts of the Badlands.
Really?
And you go into that and you look at blocks and blocks of vacant building and sort of a few people, you know, that felt like captives in their house, beautiful people, lovely people.
Right.
And it's tough. It's like The Wire in Baltimore, you know? It's like and that's what it was called. It was called the Badlands. I'm not sure what the name is these days. But Northern Liberties is like gentrified and
Now it is.
Now.
Yeah.
You go to Temple. Temple is completely different. You know?
Right.
In the old days, Cecil B. Moore Avenue was tough, but it's doesn't even look like it used to. My wife and I went down there over Christmas. We went to a community church and saw the play about the riots in Chicago. And it was the first time I was back in that area in 20 years, and it was completely different. So I was looking around to leave Philly and get to something maybe smaller.
Okay.
Still sort of urban, because that's where my heart lies.
Sure,
I wanted to be in inner cities.
Right.
And you know what? In the old days, you'd look at the newspaper. So the Philadelphia Inquirer, they had a job posted for Trenton.
Wow.
As a planner. So I applied. And I think the first time I didn't hear back from them, then they called me back a long while after that. And at the time, so Palmer was in power for maybe 2 years.
His first 2 years?
Yes, first
okay.
year.
Okay, Doug Palmer.
So yeah. Doug Palmer.
Right.
And Alan Malik was the director of planning. And Alan's sort of a prolific kind of planner,
okay.
good thinker, good mind.
Was he?
Yeah, he sort of, you know, does stuff with the Brookings Institute and done a lot of stuff.
Gotcha.
And he's in and out of Trenton now. He's involved with stuff. He's
Is
still
he?
Involved, yeah. So I got here 91. I hated it. Absolutely hated it.
What'd you hate about it?
Oh, I hated Trenton, yeah.
Really?
I was living in, let me tell you, I'm single. I'm living in Center City, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Okay.
And then I come to Trenton, single, right. and I go, oh my gosh, you know, Trenton plays out in myth as bigger than it is when you get here. You go, mm-hmm. capital city, you know?
Right, sure, absolutely.
You come here and go, wow, it's a pretty small place. And there's not a lot going on. I didn't have a car at the time. I go, well, it's a capital. I'll be able to use public transportation.
Right, right.
Because I didn't, you know, right. subway. So I got here and go, well, I really can't use public transportation. I used the buses for a while. So, you know, I like what I was doing here. I like the people I was working with. But right. I wasn't happy as a sort of a place.
Right. So and you weren't living in Trenton.
Well, yeah, sure. I had to move here.
I
had to move here. So I moved up here. I commuted from Philly for a little bit, and then I moved
Well, that's what
up
I'm saying.
Here.
So you had to make that commute before you
Yeah, sure, but I had to live here. So,
right, okay.
So, you know, my first couple years weren't happy as far as place goes. I think my mm-hmm. job went okay, but, you know, I'm a place guy. I'm a planner. I like
yeah,
place.
Sure.
So I was, you know, I was back in Philly a lot, hanging out with the old folks in Philly.
Okay.
I still got a
right.
lot of friends, you know, from
sure.
my couple years in there.
Right.
I still have a lot of friends. And then I got, like, you know, comfortable with place and comfortable with people. And, you know, what they
right.
say is the rest is history. I met my wife in Trenton, and we raised
So where'd you meet
kids.
Your wife?
I met my wife at the old Kathmandu.
Which is now Cooper's. Wow, you met at Kathmandu, really?
We did. I was there.
What was that all about?
Well,
your wife, Jessie.
Jesse.
Yeah.
Yes.
What
so,
about, how did you guys
so
meet?
We, you know,
I hear this story. Was she was already living in Trenton, or was she visiting?
No. So we go there, you know, like we're doing happy hours and stuff. So we go there, gang of us go there for happy hour after City Hall.
Right.
And I'm there, you know, and I'm new people and I'm dancing around and, you know, and then my wife's friend pulls me to the side, mm-hmm. who I don't know, this woman. She says, I want you to meet somebody. So it was Jesse. And we started dancing.
You didn't know the woman who pulled you aside?
No, you know what?
And says, I want you to meet somebody. How did she even know if you were single?
You know what? Here's what. It's so funny. It's like she saw me at this other place like a night before, two nights before. So at that time in my life, you know, I'm going out. I'm finding
all right,
places.
Whatever.
I'm
that's finding fine. Out yeah, places. You're doing your thing.
So her connection was she says, you know what? I remember. I saw you at the – and this is a place that's not there anymore. It was called The Vault. The Vault was on Broad Street. It's still Bank.
Okay.
And it was a club.
It was a club.
So I was there like two nights before.
Oh, I think I heard of The Vault.
Yeah, it was a cool little place. Right. It's a cool little place. Now it's like, you know, nursing something.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, a little further down from like Joe's and stuff like that.
From Mill Hill Saloon.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's, she saw me there and she pulled me over and, you know, so we talked and, you know, that's it.
So what does that look like? Like she pulls you over. You don't know who this girl is. And she goes, hey, I remember you from The
Vault.
What? I got someone
I'm
want
single,
you to meet.
I'm single. I'm hanging. I'm going, sure. Let's go dance.
And you're cool with
I'm
this.
Good.
You have
I'm
no
good.
Idea what this girl's about. Have no idea what she's about to introduce you to. It could have been a nightmare.
It's a public place.
Yeah, I guess.
We talked for a long time. We talked for like a couple hours.
You and Jesse.
After we got done dancing. So we talked. And then, you know, one thing led to another. And we had our first official date at, I don't know, what it was Trenton Social. I'm not sure what it was back then. It was Roland. I think Roland had it.
Was it Urban Word?
It was Urban Word.
Was that it?
So the first official date was at
Urban Word. Was that Urban Word?
It was at Urban That's Word.
That's great.
And, I mean, Urban Word, and then across from Urban Word used to be The Conduit. Used to have
The Conduit,
cool
right?
Music.
That's right,
and
yeah.
I've seen some good stuff there. Wow. Black 47 and Jeffrey Gaynor. They brought in some good stuff. So,
and I've met
you know,
Jesse a number of times. You've definitely married up. I could tell you that.
I did. I married up. You know.
I don't know how you landed Jesse. I don't know what.
You know, you're always trying to raise yourself up, and I married up.
I don't know what my spiel you gave her.
My wife is like interesting. You know, she has an interesting background. I'm not allowed to talk a lot about it because she gets. You know.
Why not?
You know,
tell her to be quiet.
So she was raised in Peru.
She was raised in Peru,
and you don't think she's Peruvian, right? She doesn't look
No,
Peruvian.
I wouldn't think she's
Peruvian. She's
Peruvian.
So she's part Peruvian, part English. So her father is...
English like British English?
British. Yeah. English like British English, yes.
Wow.
So her father and her mother met at St. Andrews in Scotland in college.
Okay.
Her father is smart, PhD in economics from Harvard, was the... And Jesse will not like this. He was the president of the Federal Reserve Bank for Peru under many presidents. So he's a great guy, really sort of humbling guy. You know, you can just chat to him.
Sure.
So Jesse got here like when she was 10 years old or something.
Oh, so she was like, she probably remembers a lot of it.
Of course. Oh, and then she goes back. I mean, we go back. You know, her father's in Lima.
So she speaks more than one language.
She's fluent in Spanish. In fact, she teaches at the Princeton schools in a bilingual program.
Wow.
So she teaches young kids dual languages.
Right, right.
So she's the kids that are learning dual languages. That's what Trenton needs. Yeah, so her, you know, we go down every once in a while. Not a lot. Her father comes up here more.
Does he?
Like in a week or two, they all meet up in Maine. So Jesse will go up, meet her family up in Maine. Then I will follow them after Tuesday because Tuesday's National Night Out. And I have a big, you know, I do a big block party for the kids.
Oh, when is that happening? Next Tuesday?
Tuesday the 6th.
Tuesday,
first
August 6th.
It's always the first Tuesday in August. National Night Out. Do you not? You don't know about
I know
National
what National Night Out is.
Okay, yeah.
Gee whiz, Bill. I don't make
well,
not
you know,
that far
I,
out.
I don't, you know, I Gosh. Don't know anything about
I just
you.
Didn't happen to know it's the second week, the second
it's
Tuesday
the
of August.
It's the first Tuesday
Oh,
of
see,
August.
I'm already wrong.
You're already wrong.
gonna, the first
you're have to
Tuesday
edit
in August. I'm not editing anything.
So I have
podcast. He has to keep.
So I have a block. I'm on Hillcrest Avenue, up by right above Cadwalader Park. So I have a block party. We close down Holman Avenue. You know, I get like the bounce house on one end. I have a basketball court on the other.
Nice.
And DJ, food.
Good you man, and it's all free.
It's all free. Yeah, so
it's a place where kids can come to feel
raise
safe.
I raised money, so I'm still raising money. Still,
all right. Well, you hear that, people? So where can people give money to this? Where do they go?
Well, they would talk to me, Bill Deloach.
Oh, they don't have some kind of thing online you can go to?
Well, no. I mean,
GoFundMe or something?
No, I don't do GoFundMe. I have done some really cool GoFundMes in the past, but not this one.
Have they worked?
Yeah. So you want to hear a really neat GoFundMe I did?
Yes, go ahead. Okay. Go.
So the last time we went to Peru, which was a vacation. But you know what? I went on vacation, but I wanted to do something in Peru. I wanted to, you know, give a little.
Sure.
So I made contact with this guy who spent time in the jungle in his village. And the villagers were trying to sustain themselves by opening up an ecotourism spot.
You're kidding.
So I made contact with him, and I said, you know what? Sounds really cool. How do I connect with him? He go, well, I'll connect with him. If you want to do it, you just show up in this town, and I'll have him pick you up.
And you just got to show up.
Just show up. With cash. You're going to pay.
Sure.
Yeah, with pay.
Right.
So I did a GoFundMe. I said, you know, we're going to go into the village, and we're going to help them build something. What do they need? And they go, well, they need a community center. So I raised about $2,000. And I brought, so we spent time in Lima vacationing. Then we flew up to Iquitos up in the, off of the Amazon. We spent some time in Iquitos. Then we took a boat down the Amazon River and we went to this village and I had $2,000 in cash in my pocket to give to him. And then I also had $600 for the,
for the
4 days. So that was very cool.
You're like for real.
Yeah, we do stuff. You know, it's good to do stuff for
Did you have
people.
Like a master builder over there, or was that you, or what?
No, we bought all these. So what we did is we paid for all the lumber. We paid for all the lumber. And, you know, I've been in contact with the folks, and I've gotten emails about how it's been built. So we hooked up with this one tour guide who this village would hire every once in a while.
All right.
And, you know, he has some technology, so he you know, he emails me and I'm Facebook friends with him.
Right.
And I send him stuff down like, you know, they're in the jungle and the critters are, you know. I know. So they're tough. So he needed like really strong mosquito stuff.
But sure.
He didn't want DEET or anything. So I got him this stuff and I sent it through Amazon to Iquitos. It took a month and a half, but it got there.
But it finally got
it
there.
It finally got there.
I know
there.
What that's like. My wife and I went to Lima. Had to then drive to Pichinaki and then drove to Obenteni, which was a little village. It's not even on a map. And we had to dig holes and pour cement. And we built a church for them over there, a physical building.
Nice. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so I know what that's with that. But then we had a master builder who didn't speak a lick of English that I can remember.
Right.
So we had some translators and it was
I mean, that was the benefit of having my wife. So. I mean, these guys weren't speaking any English.
That's awesome, man. Gee whiz.
That was cool.
So then how long were you city planner for?
In Trenton from like 91. Oh, my gosh. Really long. A long time. Too long, actually.
It had to be more than 10 years.
Oh, yeah. 20 years.
Really?
Yeah. So I left when Tony Mack got in. So I went through all the promo years.
Wow.
So I stayed a long time, longer than I thought, much longer than I thought.
Because me and Christina moved here in 2003, and you were still city planner.
Yeah. Palmer was in. Do you remember when Tony was here?
Yeah, I remember.
So when Tony got in, some of Palmer's people were moving on, and they pulled me out. They said, do you want to come with us? The business administrator was going to Edison. They said, we need someone to run planning. You want to come up and run
So they were all leaving to go to another city?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, when a new administration comes in, they bring in their own people. It's pretty standard. They bring in their own people. Right. So they all left.
Right.
And so the BA brought me up to Edison. And Edison was really a difficult place. Politically, it was really difficult. They didn't actually trust me from Trenton. They didn't trust me. They thought that I would bring in some bad ideas coming from Trenton. So I lasted there 9 months. And, you know, I had good relationships with the people that I worked with. But city council, they didn't even know me, actually. Yeah. But they had a real big battle with the BA.
Mm.
And they fired him. And he brought three of us with him. And he says, and get rid of all the people he brought. They didn't know me. So the mayor, you know, and I work with the mayor. I mean, it's a politically appointed position. And
sure,
they said,
right.
You know, we can't keep you here. And they said, you're done.
Gee whiz. Gosh.
I lasted, you know, I stayed a couple more days and I was done. So you're I was done. Out of a job. I collected unemployment for a little bit. And then I said, well, let me see what I was going to do. So I started looking into, like, positions in my field, but at my level.
Cause, sure, you know, right.
Sort of petered up a little bit. So after a while, I really couldn't find anything I wanted. It was a bad time for planners. It was the Chris Christie years when he was cutting municipal budgets.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't a lot of plan. There wasn't a lot of hiring going on. So I looked for a while, and I said, you know what? I wanted out of planning. I wanted out of it. I always told my wife I wanted to start working more with kids, urban kids in urban areas.
Sure, sure.
So,
is that what you're doing now?
Well, I am. I am. So I'm doing different things. So the problem for me is that I was a little short on my pension time.
Okay.
So I had to find pensionable time, and I talked to my pension folks, and they go, and I said, you know, I want to start substitute teaching just to start like working
right,
with kids.
Right.
And they go, well, good, because that puts you back in your pension, which I didn't know at the time.
Oh, that's cool.
So I worked in schools as a substitute teacher, and then I worked full-time working in the autism program for one school, and then I got my pension time in, and I retired.
Oh, okay. So you're retired.
I am retired.
But you're doing the...
I have my pension. I have my health benefits. During the summer, like now I'm volunteering. I do. I was working at Homefront with the... do you know Homefront?
Yeah, I know Homefront.
So I work with their summer program, with their camp that's supposed to be, you know, for kids homeless or had some homeless episodes.
Right,
so I work twice
right.
a week with them just at volunteer.
Right.
And then when the school year kicks in, I will sub a couple days a week. And then I work with a program out of Princeton. The kids coming out of, there's a couple, it's called the Young Achievers Program. Yes,
yeah,
so I work with the Young Achievers. So, you know, yes, I work with the Young Achievers Program. So it's just to supplement a little bit.
Well, that's cool, though. It's
cool.
Like fulfilling.
It's all good.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm sure city planning was fulfilling in its way, but I got to tell you, I couldn't stand you when
it
I first
was.
Met you.
Well, good.
Could not stand you when good. I first met you.
I don't even remember you.
Because, so here's what was going on.
You left no impression, Frank. Keep that in. What did I do to you? What did I do?
Here's what happened. Here's,
yeah,
let me give you the background.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I tried to explain this to you at the Candlelight Lounge to no avail. I don't think you got it that night.
I wasn't paying attention to
No, because I'm talking to you, and you're like, yeah, you're thinking about 10 million other things. I could tell you're zoning out. You're out to lunch when I'm talking to you.
No, not out to lunch.
You're out to doing something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Doug Palmer was in, and I like Doug. I still like Doug. I don't have a problem with Doug. Doug and I were friends.
He married me. He did our marriage. He married my
He
wife
married you and your wife?
Yeah, he came out on a Saturday. He says, I never do weddings on a Saturday, Bill.
Wow.
I'm coming out and doing yours. Go ahead.
Well, here's why I bring up Doug.
Yeah.
Because he was mayor at the time.
Yeah.
You know, you had that whole stupid Leawood thing.
Yeah.
Where they wanted to mow down 10 square city blocks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Displacing 500 families.
Yeah.
Put up to basically build Staten Island. And
yeah, they wanted to take out the neighborhood.
And you were like in the administration.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I heard you was a city planner. I said, well, this guy's got to be a jerk. Because I'm thinking you're involved with this. This is what I'm thinking.
Jerk by association.
Yeah. You're a jerk by association.
Okay.
By
association. Yeah, I know people like that.
Right. And then I heard you say...
What did I say?
You said something, and maybe I took it out of context, but...
I'm sure you did.
You were saying something to somebody, and all I heard you say was, well, everybody knows you don't paint brick, is what I heard you say. And I'm like, what?
You sure that was me?
That was totally you.
And not the historic preservation.
No,
officer?
That was definitely you.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't paint brick because brick, especially it's porous. It's and it
I understand.
Needs to
breathe. Well, here's what I did.
Oh, you got? I see you have some notes.
I got some notes here. I did my homework, and I found out some information about painting brick from the Brick Industry Association.
Oh man!
If you paint exterior brick, you should repaint it every 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
It doesn't say you shouldn't paint it. It's saying if you're going to do it, and it's exterior, do it every 3 to 5 years.
If you don't paint it, you don't have to touch it forever.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. My neighbor, she's like off the... You talk about German. She's off the boat German.
Okay.
Like literally...
Okay.
Okay. She painted her house. She's like kind of ageless, but I think she's in her late 80s.
Okay.
Still getting up on a ladder, still doing her own roof work. I mean, this woman is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Her name is Inga Zeidel, right?
Okay.
She painted her house, and it's a brick house. And it looks like something out of Gramercy Park, New York. But they say that chipping, moldy, deteriorating, or just in bad shape brick, that's a bad candidate for painting. But overall, when you said, everyone knows you shouldn't paint brick, everybody knows.
Well,
I'm like, look at this guy. Who does he think he is?
You know, don't be against people who know stuff.
Mm.
Talk to historic preservation folks, and they. I don't remember that.
I don't want to talk to them.
I don't remember.
I want to talk.
But
I have
ahead.
You on the show
yeah,
right
go
now.
Ahead. Go, okay, next topic.
Next topic
yeah.
is you were involved in, I believe, October of 2008 with the Transit Center, the Trenton Transit Center, the new revitalized Transit Center.
Well, yeah, sure.
I have a quote. I have a quote from you.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
They had interviewed you.
Yeah.
You had said something about. what your desire was. You said, and I quote, you wanted a destination type, high density, mixed use, transit oriented complex.
I still want
and
that.
Things that made environmental sense.
Okay.
I think that was successful. I think you hit the mark.
Okay.
On that.
Oh, thanks.
Because I love the Trenton Transit Station.
It's
I think it's awesome. It's not quite there yet.
It's not a destination.
But it's a lot better than what it was.
Well, I mean, that was in the context of probably like Dan Brennick trying to build his mixed-use project there.
Okay.
All that stuff. When you look at transit centers, they are looking at sort of destination, you know, people living there, getting on the trains, commuting to work, coming back.
Right.
You look in Philadelphia, you look what's right. going on around, you know, 30th Street Station. So that's what we were sort of heading for. The train station itself is a better looking building, no doubt.
Absolutely. And it's safer.
Has it attract, new residents there or building above the train station or, you know, I don't think it's there yet.
But it is so much better than what it was. No, you're not going to be looking at my notes. How dare you? Taking the notes right out of my hand.
Destination, mixed use is
I'm
not.
I'm getting there.
I'm not sure if it's mixed use.
I got nothing embarrassing. Don't worry.
No.
Actually, I got one
I'm
story.
Sure I've said something embarrassing. You know, when you're in like a town like Trenton,
yeah.
and it's really small, you end up in the paper all the time. I was always in the paper.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you're just always in the paper. It's a small.
I know.
That was a hard thing to get used to in the beginning. It's so small compared to like what I was in, and everybody is like, you know, the business of me is the business of everybody. The business of you is the business
That's
of everybody.
That's it. That's why I don't walk out of the house with like, you know, wearing pajamas. I just don't do that. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how people walk out of the house in their pajamas. Like, and they go to the store like this. It's not like they're just throwing their garbage away.
I sit on my porch in my pajamas. I don't go to the store in my
pajamas. Oh, you sit on the porch. At least you're on the you can duck into your house. I'm like, you know, you go out into the world.
What do you have on that card? Now I'm curious.
You know, I have a little bit about your, in October 2008, same time, you had all these green initiatives.
I
had the goals for that.
We started some of that stuff before Doug was really, and before the city was moving, before it was like big around, you know, we were thinking about the environmental.
All right, let me ask you if you think you were successful in these 3 points that you wanted to achieve.
Yeah.
You wanted to reduce cost and consumption of limited resources. That was number one.
Is this a yes or no question?
No, do you feel like you did that?
No.
Okay.
No. Go ahead.
You wanted to provide a cleaner and more efficient use of land? Did you feel like you did that?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's goals. We're still heading towards that stuff. With the environmental stuff, I don't think, and honestly, this all works on a continuum. You don't get it done and you're done with the environmental stuff.
But you were there for 20 years. You had 20 years to get this done.
Me?
Come on. Yeah. Yeah, you personally.
Oh, yeah, me.
And finally, the last one.
Yeah, go ahead.
You wanted to be able to educate, encourage, and enable residents and business owners to live a healthier and greener lifestyle.
Well, you know.
I think you hit that.
Yeah, I hit that,
That's like all over the place.
Where in the heck did that come from?
Hey, man, I do my homework. I do research.
You know how to use Google, huh?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, good. So we put, and those still in place, we put environmental, we put green initiative goals into development. We put with the help of a consultant, but we put together a scoring card that, in theory, a developer in a redevelopment area, if they build over a certain, there's a threshold amount. If you build over a certain square footage, you have to meet. You have to have a certain amount of points on this list. So it's performance-based. You pick the points.
Okay.
You pick what you can do. Huh. It might be, you know, orientation of a building. It may be a green roof. It may be, you know, geothermal heating. It may be something. So you pick where you have a comparative advantage, and you get points. And you have to score a certain amount of points. It's been a long time, and I don't know if any of that is used. But I feel I'm proud of that type.
You should
of stuff.
Be. I mean, I think, like I said, I think you hit the mark on that. I know my wife and I, we have Central Air, right?
Yeah.
So we have this water pump that pumps the water out, and we use that water to like water the plants stuff like that.
That's just draining away. And my wife is, you know, I mean, she thinks about that stuff all the time. She's very environmentally conscious. She's a vegetarian for environmental reasons.
Interesting.
Reduce carbon footprint.
Do you recycle?
We do. Sure.
I wonder if that's like, how effective do you really think that is? I mean, is that really making a dent, recycling?
Well, I guess you have to think about what it would be if you didn't do that. and how much of a more of a problem it could be, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
I think you have to think
I
about
sometimes
that
think
stuff.
It's like, is this even
like this,
real?
You know, things like water bottles, all those little things, you know? So at the camp I'm working with, they were using water bottles. I said, you know, guys, you guys use a lot of water bottles. And they go, oh, we have another idea. So what they do now, each kid has its own nice water bottle.
Okay.
And they have their names on it.
Oh.
And so they have trays that they eat. So no more water bottles. They just use the bottle over and over, and they fill it up at the spigot. It's fine. So they got rid of all these bottled waters.
But after a while, isn't that bad to do that? Constantly using the same bottle? I don't know. That's what I kind of heard.
Who
I think I heard
mean, maybe
that.
Maybe over. But these kids will use it for the summer, and then they'll take it
and
home
and they're
with
done.
They'll be done. Yeah, but so instead of
instead
of buying cases of bottles, these kids are reusing their water bottles.
Buy one case and keep refilling it.
Yeah, it's all good.
That'll
so
work.
So little things, you know, incremental changes in life that some make to something bigger. Yeah.
You know, I think I still owe you a dinner.
You do. My wife thinks you stole money from us. I go, well, I don't know if he stole money from us.
I didn't steal money from you.
Hold on. I paid for something and you
Here's what happened. I didn't jump out on a bill, number one.
Yeah,
Bill, you're a part of the Trenton Eat local group.
I am.
Okay, so what we do is, with a bunch of us, we get together once a month. We go to a restaurant. This one time, I went to the restaurant. Christina didn't go. She stayed home. I was going there to pick up a meal, you know, to support the restaurant.
Yeah, right,
but I was taking takeout. I was doing takeout. So I'm sitting there, I'm waiting for the meal. I see you guys. You're in there. Jesse's in there. Regina and Ron are in there.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to you guys. I'm hanging out by your table. I'm waiting for the food. It's taking, you know, a little while to get to me. It finally gets to the table, and we're so into the conversation. I'm talking to the owner. I'm talking to you guys. And I just wind up leaving. You know? And, like, I'm driving home.
And we all look at each other and go, hold it. We just bought. And that wasn't. That
wait a minute. You didn't know you were. So what happened was, I'm driving home, and I'm like, oh, no. Forgot to pay for the food. So I call you up. I said, hey, Bill, do me a favor. Pay for my food. And I'll.
Oh, right. That's right. You forgot to pay for it. So we had to pay for your food.
Right. So it's not like I stole money from you. Hey, Jesse, I didn't steal money from you.
We were trying to get your license number. We were just going to call the cops and tell them, you know, you skipped out on the bill. But I said, no, that's okay. And that wasn't like Trenton Eat. We were just there.
Gee, thanks. I don't think that would have even had an effect.
I don't think the police have time to look for somebody like you, skipping out on a pupusa, whatever it is. You know,
it was, we were just talking about this restaurant today, me and Christina. Cafe Luna?
You know what? So maybe before, were you here when all the Italian restaurants were, like some of them, of
We
course.
Were in 2003.
Yeah, yeah. So that was this little, they were all like these little Italian restaurants. So that was this little place where they never had menus. So you would just go in, and the old women were there, and they would come out and say, okay, here's what we'll cook.
Yeah, whatever they're making, that's what you get.
It was like going into an Italian kitchen.
I kind of like that.
And it was very cool. I mean, I love it. Like, the stuff that's happening now, like all this organic stuff, and it's just, so one entrepreneurial immigrant group has been replaced with a new one.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, of course.
I mean, it's a great.
I wouldn't even say there's nothing. It's all right about it.
It's all right about it. What was the name of that restaurant?
So I can.
I want to make sure I get it right. Cafe Mezzaluna.
I don't know. I'm not even sure.
Let's call Christine and ask her. Here we go.
Oh, on air.
The second time doing a live phone call. Come on.
She's busy.
She better answer. Oh, come on. Answer the phone.
Hello?
Hey, Christina, it's Frank. You're on the podcast right now with Bill and I.
Hey.
Hey, look, don't start a whole conversation. We have a quick question. Let's start a whole conversation.
I have a quick question.
What?
Remember when Bill and Jesse paid for my meal that night?
I don't remember because I wasn't there.
You weren't there.
Well, but you remember the story.
I remember the story, yeah.
Okay, where? What was the name of the restaurant?
Casa de Luna.
Casa de Luna, that was it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I think that was it.
That's it.
They have the arepas.
Yeah,
right.
They do. The arepas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They got the arepas. Okay, that's all we needed to know.
Okay, between the two of you, you can figure it out.
I thought it was Cafe Luna and then Mezzaluna. You know, I didn't know what it was.
I don't keep track of all the names. There's so many new places.
House of the Moon.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah, nice.
All right, we're going to go.
All right, goodbye.
See you later.
There we go.
That was it. I just forgot what the name of it was again.
Yeah, yeah. I know
Casa de Luna. That was it. House of the Moon. Okay. So now you know. House of the Moon, Casa de Luna in Trenton. Look it up. Great food. Great arepas. Jesse, am I pronouncing that right? Arepas or is arepas?
I'll have a listen to it.
Well, she'll listen to it and she'll leave a comment. Anyway, and now I like you. Now I think you're a cool guy.
I've always been like this. I haven't changed, Frank. Maybe you've changed a little.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it's your hair.
You don't keep it in a ponytail. My hair's always been like
that. No, but you don't keep it in a ponytail anymore now. I think that's what I don't like about you, too.
Yeah, it's getting long.
I think that bugged me, too. You look a little pretentious.
Yeah, so I was the before you got, I was one time I was in the Trentonian and they called me the ponytail planner. That's all they could. That's clever. The best they could do.
That's the best they could do. The best I could have thought of at least five names off the top of my head.
That was a long time ago.
Ponytail.
You know what? They didn't have anything else to.
What? Because it begins with a P. Really? That was their discovery.
They talked about something. I guess I didn't give them enough to talk about.
Yeah,
and,
for crying out loud.
And that was it.
Well, I think it's great what you're doing with these kids, the Young Achievers Program. I think that's an amazing, amazing thing.
Oh yeah.
Because they always say, "What are you messing with your phone? I'm trying to talk to you."
Yeah, no. Let me hang up. Okay, God.
Who was that?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give you a compliment, and you're making phone calls on the air here. I get to do that.
No. It came in.
Well, you don't answer it.
I get a lot of stuff coming in, Frank. Yeah? You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in my life.
Yeah?
No, not really. I'm really enjoying partial retirement.
I love your bike.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a hybrid,
I'm a city guy. I'm all over the city now.
Yeah, but it has a motor.
It's an e-bike. So I use it for transportation, which is environment.
Right.
So I go, like, the other day I had to go to Home Depot to pick up something I could carry in a backpack. So I took my bike and put it in my backpack.
All right, so you rode a bike like a normal person, but then when you go uphill, you put the motor on, and that brings you up the hill.
It helps.
Well, isn't the idea of a bike is to exercise?
Well, it is. I have, if you want to get into it, I have a diagnosed bone disease in this one knee. It was diagnosed about 3 years ago.
Yeah, so, this is funny to you?
It's not funny, but you know, I don't want to give away too much stuff.
All right.
So I was trying to figure out ways. So walking was hurting more. You know, my wife was big. We liked to hike.
Big walker
by hiking. So that was hurting more than me.
Hmm.
So I was trying to figure out what am I going to do. So I decided trying to do some biking. So the first bike I bought, I haven't been on bikes in a long time.
Really?
And when we were young, it was all about mini bikes. It was all about motorcycles. You know,
okay,
I went to my motorcycle.
Yeah.
So I bought a bike. I went to the Boys and Girls Club and bought one of their
bikes. Oh, you bought it from them?
I did. Yeah, not that one. But I bought a regular bike and I'm riding it. Go, you know, this is okay, but my knee hurts when I'm like hitting these hills. I go, how am I going to do this? And I go, I know, an e-bike. And if you know me, before, people know me, I had a hybrid trike, and I used to be all over town on my trike.
Really?
Yeah, it's a three-wheeler.
I feel like it's kind of cheating.
It might have been before cheating. No, see?
I feel like it's like cheating.
You
because
know
if you exercised, your knee probably wouldn't even hurt anymore.
You know what? It's not cheating, and people who think that just aren't, you know, I hate to say it, aren't educated enough about it.
Thank you again.
Yeah, you're welcome. Because
we could just insult each other to our faces with smiles.
Here's why it's not cheating. Because if I didn't have it and was trying to just the bike, I probably wouldn't be on the bike.
And then you wouldn't do it at all.
I wouldn't do it at all.
Right. All right. So well, it's something at least. Yeah. At least you're doing something.
Good.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to ask you the question my wife loves to ask.
Okay.
I want you to describe
your
dream Trenton. Go.
Here's what I always thought when I walked into Trenton. One thing that I really really liked was that there was a downtown that looked like a downtown. It had buildings.
Right.
So my dream Trenton is to have a downtown that's a super cool destination. Lots of different people living there, different races, different ethnics, different economic restaurants, places to go, and then just safe, solid neighborhoods so you can live in a nice neighborhood. You can go downtown Trenton and do different things, safe areas to see. I wanted it to be a destination spot. In Trenton, there should be living possibilities and opportunities for all income levels, from the highest to people who or lower that need affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
There should be all types of living possibilities in Trenton. And we don't have all that. We have some of that. I mean, Codwell, you know, Hiltonia and they're really nice places.
Sure.
But, you know, downtown needs some, you know, some sleek housing that has some nice amenities.
Okay.
And it needs restaurants, it needs venues, and it needs places for people to be and people to destinations that people want to go to. And you have a great downtown, you have great neighborhoods.
Right.
So,
do you feel like there's been a lot of positive change and a lot of positive energy lately?
I think lately, I think there's some energy in, you know, I think a lot like in the arts community and sort of the underground, same underground, but like the arts and music scenes and people.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of boosters out there that, you know, like yourself and your wife who boost the Trenton and talk a lot about what's going on in the city. I think that's good.
Right.
I don't think Trenton can live off of boosters. It has to have more than boosters. It has to have, it, people outside, everywhere has to say, wow, that's the place I want to go to. Like Art All Night, it, you know, it doesn't live off the boosters. It lives off of 10,000 people that come in from all over the area.
All over the place, exactly right.
So Trenton needs to be a place where it has a comparative advantage for people to come in from other places to come and visit and maybe live here somewhere. Somewhere along the line. It has great potential.
But Trenton now, I think, you know, everybody that we've experienced that comes here, they love it. They love the Pork Roll Festival and the Levitt Music Foundation stuff that's going on. They got the Art All Night like you were talking about. I think this may, I think we caught a break with Reed, I'll tell you that.
I'm hoping. Yeah, I'm hopeful that
he's implementing a lot of great things.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping that things are moving forward in the city.
Yeah, like to see the Trenton Thanksgiving Day Parade. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think the events that bring people in that highlight the city and show that, you know, you can come into the city, have a good time, and feel safe. You know,
yeah,
I think
very cool.
That's what people you need to have that type of stuff.
Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you wanted to get out there? For Podcastia's listening ears, to let them know about.
Well, I don't think so, Frank. I think we caught it. I don't know what do you.
I'm asking you, man. This is your moment. This is the opportunity
now. Who's your audience out there?
We got about 12,000 listeners now. Started with 800 when Reed came on as the first guest, and then 6 months later or so, we're over 12,000 people.
12,000.
I mean, these are active listeners. It's pretty cool.
Well, you know, come on into Trenton and you can, there's a lot of different things going on. There's got to be more going on, but there's different things going on. I enjoy different things in Trenton, but, you know, I leave Trenton often and go to Philly and go to different places because I see other stuff going on I want to do. I want to be able to, Trenton has to be a place of choice. I want to be able to say, I'm going there because I really want to do it, not because it's like, you know, it's Trenton. I need to support this. Some of that
I hear what you're saying.
Some of that, yes, I want to support it, but I want to be that, wow, this is really what I want to do. I am not going to drive to Philly tonight because I'm going to be in Trenton.
Let me tell you, man, there's so much going on in Trenton, you can't do it all. And when my wife and I really, like, put our feet down and dug our heels in, we saw all this stuff going on in Trenton. We're like, wow, there's a lot of stuff to do. We've been on garden tours and house tours and, like, you know, the Ellerslie Museum and stuff. I mean, there's so many things going on.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get to everything. So, you know, we like staying in Trenton now. I mean, we still go to Philly, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And we hang out and stuff. But, you know, Trenton is just, you know, like tonight, you got the Levitt music happening tonight.
I mean, and I think, like, having that on a Thursday night is a good thing because it was competing on Saturday nights and people weren't showing up because they were doing other things.
Sure, right.
So I think Thursday night Levitt is a great thing.
Yeah, cool.
So it brings people in. You know, my wife and I, you know, we're getting a little older. We're not out as much. But I you know, I come downtown and hang out every once in a
while.
That's
cool.
I got my favorite spot, you know.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Hmm? You know.
Does Jessie know about this spot?
She does. She's been to it.
Okay.
Yeah, so we you know.
You want to tell me what it is? What is it?
Well, I enjoy New Jersey Weed Man.
The Weed Man joint.
I enjoy the Weed Man joint.
Wow, so you have you ever sat in the backyard?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
In their backyard?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Their courtyard is very cool. And you know what? I kind of like psychedelic kind of music.
I'm surprised he let you back there.
Why is that?
Because he let me back there, and he goes, I don't let anybody back here. And he let me eat lunch back there one night.
He says that to you.
One day.
Yeah, because he wanted to make you feel good.
This is before the podcast, dude. So please.
Yes, to see you. Yeah, I've been back there many times. Jesse's been back there. We watched. They had movie nights.
You must be an honorary member now.
We've been...
maybe that's why he led you back
there.
That's
it. Yes.
Because you're an honorary member.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Maybe this. How long have you been going there?
Well, I mean, I was there years ago before Ed went away, and then I've been back more. since he's been back and doing more.
So in the past, what, 2-3 years he's been going?
Yeah, last year.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but I mean, years ago when he had the restaurant, I was there. And then he went away on vacation. He went on,
and then he came on vacation.
But he came back, and he has. So, like, I got friends. We come up. He does like Grateful Dead cover bands on Sundays. So we go to we do a little Grateful Dead action. I don't see him as a deadhead. Yeah, he's kind of a deadhead. Okay. He's a pretty chill guy. I've been there for like movie night with
that
my
is
wife.
Great.
We've seen some other cool bands there, and you can chill out in the back. I mean, last time my wife went, it was a beautiful night out.
Yeah.
She brought her sewing stuff. She was sewing in the back, just listening to
music.
She's
into that. What is she, crochet or knitting?
What is she doing? She's making dresses. She just made some really cool dresses.
Wait, she sews dresses?
Yeah.
When you go out?
Yeah. Yes.
I could see crocheting or knitting, but she's actually sewing a dress.
Oh, my God, yeah. She did a dress last week, and she's been wearing it to school. It's very cool.
No, that's fine, but where she does this in public? Like, she'll sit with her bag?
Like, wear dresses in public?
No, yes, not wear them. Sew them.
You know what? That might be, like, when she was there, she was sewing some. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
She's probably knitting is what she's doing.
She might be knitting.
All right, she's not sewing a dress. I'm telling you. I feel very confident. And, Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong. She's no way is she sitting listening to Levitt music and sewing a dress. She's maybe knitting.
Levitt music. I told you.
But I'm saying, I'm using that as an example.
Oh, okay.
You're not out and about doing stuff and she's sitting there sewing a dress. There's no way. She's probably knitting something. Or crocheting.
She might have, you know what? She might have been sewing part of it. She's doing something, Frank. That's not the point.
What is the point? I forgot the point of this.
That it was just like hanging out.
All right, so you're hanging out. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you say something, and I'm gonna call you on it.
Yes, you're not really calling me on it.
I kind of am.
It's kind of silliness, but that's okay.
You actually remind me of my business partner, Darren, because you talk to me like he does a little bit.
Do I?
Yeah.
Set you straight?
Eh, does Darren? Like that.
Yeah, no. No, I'm not setting you straight.
Anyway.
All right, Frank.
All right, my man. Well, podcasting, this has been Bill Volokey with you and with me.
All right.
Trenton Waves, another episode in the can.
Sasso out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Crystal Feliciano. I'm here on this set of the Crystal Feliciano Show. Please be sure to save the date for September 16th through the 22nd. Why, you say? Because Trenton Fashion Week is coming here to the capital city of Trenton, New Jersey. Again, that's September 16th through the 22nd. Trenton Fashion Week. We're going to help make Trenton shine.
If you're a digital video editor, you need Edius. Edius is all about giving editors the creative freedom to create any application environment. It is designed to put the power in the hands of the editor with incredible format flexibility. Edius, editing refined. Edius allows multiple users to edit, work with content as it imports, and getting content to the user incredibly fast. Check out the latest version of Edius that just launched. Download a 30-day trial today at edius.net.